You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
My name is Claire, and I get to serve as our high school pastor here. It's the best job I've ever had. And tonight, we're starting a new series called Open Book. In a couple of Wednesday nights, we are going to have our first student leader-led Wednesday night event. And I know, we're very excited. All year long, your student leaders work on some sort of event or ministry to bless all of HSN. And in a few weeks, we're doing Bible Trivia Night. Life group versus life group. And so leading up to it, we felt like it was really important to talk about the Bible. And tonight we're talking about what it is, how we read it, and next Wednesday we're talking about why we can trust it. So my question for you all is, when you see a Bible or you think of the Bible, what comes to your mind? Do you think, ooh, this thing is real confusing. You can tell that it's thousands of years old. Do you think, oh, it's a little boring? Or does it kind of like bring you shame? Our prayer is really, whether you think of yourself as a Christian, however you think about the Bible, our prayer in this series is that the Bible for each of you really would become an open book, that it wouldn't be scary or intimidating, or only confusing, but that it would bring you joy because it's a way that you can connect with God. Because you see, the Bible, we have kind of an overview of it, an overview photo. The Bible, Bible means library. So it's actually a collection of 66 books, and the thing is, God loves you so much that he inspired over 40 authors to write those 66 books across three different languages, but it really tells one story, and it tells the story of the gospel, and that is a loving creator God who, when humanity broke his perfect design through sin, which is choosing their own way, he gave up everything, sacrificed everything in order to save his people from death and offer them life in him for forever. That's the story of the Bible. You see, the Bible is as essential to the Christian as eating is for the body. Raise your hand. Anyone in here get hangry? Thank you, my people. That's most of us. Yes, when we don't have food, we tend to get cranky. We tend to get weak. And if we go too long without eating, it's very damaging for us. And so for the Christian, the Bible is as essential as eating is for the body. In Matthew chapter 4, you can turn back over there to Matthew chapter 4. After Jesus gets baptized, but before he starts his public ministry, Jesus gets tempted by the devil in the desert to sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man and experienced everything that we did. He was hungry, and it says that the enemy tempts Jesus to turn the stones around him into bread so that he could eat. But Jesus replies, quoting Old Testament scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, God's word is our nourishment. That's why we encourage you every Wednesday and Sunday to bring a Bible and bring a friend. That is not a marketing strategy. That's not an excuse to pass out free candy. It's because we actually believe that this is God's living and active word that we all need as much as we need food to survive. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, these are kind of our theme verses for this series. Scripture says, "All scripture is breathed by God, is God breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, if you're a Christian, you need God's word. And if you want to live a good life, you need God's word. God's word is our tape measure. It helps us define what is truth, and it shows us what is good, and it's also our compass to guide us to where we're going. God himself, the Holy Spirit, who's alive in every believer, works with his word in harmony to equip us for every good work. I love these verses because it says that God's word is helpful for us. It's useful because it changes us. It changes us by correcting us. And something we've talked about before, and I'll keep talking about it because I think it's so helpful to learn as early as possible, and that's this. Reading the Bible is good for us, but it will not always feel good every time we read it. And that is true for a couple of reasons, and I think this is where we can be harmfully influenced by our culture. Our culture tells us that our feelings are everything. And if you feel like doing something, then do it. Or if you don't feel like it, then you don't have to. We are told that we are our feelings. But the thing is, our feelings aren't the truth. God's word is truth. And God's word might confuse us at times, but that's okay. We can ask questions. We can talk to each other about it. God's word also convicts, meaning it calls out our sin. To convict means to convince someone of the truth, to expose, to shed light on something. And when you go to God's word, you will find, as I have found, that there's a lot more darkness in me than I like to admit or that I realize. And what God's word does is it sheds light on that and brings me closer to God and changes those parts of my heart. God's word convicts us, but that's a good thing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." And at first, that might seem pretty intimidating, but only a loving God would expose our brokenness with grace and call us into something better for us, others, and for his glory. It's actually not loving of God if he let us keep living in the darkness that separated us from him in the first place. So a lot of you serve with Purpose Kids. Maybe just raise your hand if you serve with Purpose Kids on Sundays, our heroes. It's kind of like if one of the kids in your class started just hitting another kid, and you just stood there. You were like, you know, that's okay. I know that that's happened to many of you before. And what do? You don't just sit and watch it. You go and you help the situation. You correct the kid who had been hurting the other kid. And God wants to do that for us. He wants to step in and correct us out of love. And so here's kind of the takeaway from this part. Don't go to the Bible only to be encouraged. Don't only go to the Bible for a little pep talk of like, you're so amazing. Like you only do amazing things. Or don't go to the Bible for a quick Band-Aid for a little problem that you're having. The thing is, the Bible is not primarily about us. It's about God. And so go to the Bible to connect with God and discover more about him. And as you learn truths about him, you will learn more about yourself and what he's calling you to next. The thing is, God's word is one of the primary ways God communicates with us. And so we have to let him speak before we come with all of our thoughts and all the things that we want. And it can be really hard, I know, to prioritize engaging with God's word. We understand how busy all of you students are. And it can feel like, well, I just don't have time for this. I want to, but I don't have time. And we've talked about it over and over again, but we make time for things that matter to us. Or sometimes we find times for the things that we want to do. Just check your screen time. It's important, and we make time for things that matter to us. And when we open up God's word, it's like we're meeting with God. So respect it like you would meeting with a friend or a family member. A mentor gave me this advice on spending time in God's word. He said, always protect a time, pick a place, and have a plan. Just like if someone from your life group scheduled a call with you, I know the senior boys do that, or you scheduled a time to go get coffee, you wouldn't just flake without saying anything. Like, protect a time to spend with God like you would even a friend. And then pick a place. Maybe there's like a really comfy couch in your living room. Maybe you like going outside and you can go to a park. But pick a place where it's kind of special that you look forward to going and meeting with God. And then have a plan. Sometimes we get to God's word and we're excited, but we're like, where do I even start? And we kind of do Bible roulette where we just open to a random page and we just like, okay, Ecclesiastes, let's see what God has for me. And God can still use that and speak through that, but it's so helpful to have a plan. And we're going to talk about some plans that you can use tonight if you aren't already following one. And so, every day that our Bibles are just out, and if you don't have a Bible, we have one for you. Come talk to us. But as our Bibles are just out, you know, to us, it kind of looks like an old book, but really it's Jesus who loves us and wants to connect with us, wants to spend time with us. And so once we realize why the Bible is important and a little bit more of what it is, what do we do with it? How do we interact with this important, reliable, but ancient text? Well, for the rest of our time together, I'm going to show you an illustration that has been so helpful for me, and it's called the word hand. Everybody hold out your hand. This is called the word hand. Okay, so this has five different ways that we can interact with God's word. And so in the pinky of your sermon notes, can you write here? One way we can interact with God's word is we can hear it. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You see, God gave us our ears, and if you think about how you even heard of Jesus, it's probably because someone shared it with you. You listened to someone tell us. And there are so many ways that we can engage with God's word by hearing it. A lot of you use the YouVersion Bible app. We have some resources up here. The YouVersion Bible app has a way that you can play audio. YouTube also has tons of videos of people reading scripture with background music. It's really helpful if you're like doing the dishes or something. Very relaxing. Worship is so, so valuable. The best worship songs are not like something new. They're taken straight from God's living and active word. And one example is there's a band called Shane and Shane, and they have entire albums that are the Psalms. And so they're literally singing God's word over you. And then Lectio 365 is an app that I've been using more and more the last few months. And it's totally free, and you can listen to scripture, and the app leads you in prayer. And they come out with a different like prayer time in the morning, midday, and night. These are just some of the ways that we can hear God's word, because whatever we listen to, it will get into our hearts and our souls. As a side note, that's why the music that we listen to is so important, because it actually has a way of like coming inside of us. Hearing is great, but we don't remember everything that we hear. Am I right? So, if I'm hearing God's word, I have like some grasp of it, but it's like kind of weak, right? And so Lucas, if you want to come up here for a second. So if I'm only hearing God's word, yeah, you could come up here. I'm only hearing God's word. Okay, and then Lucas here, he's so wonderful, but he's playing kind of like the devil character in this illustration. So if I'm hearing God's word, that's great. I have some sense of it, but when temptation or the lies and the enemy comes, try to take the word away from me. How easy was that?
Really easy.
Really easy. Thank you, Lucas. You can sit down. Hearing God's word is helpful, but it's not enough. We have to keep going. So your next finger is read. We can read God's word. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." Now, here in Revelation, this was speaking about this specific prophecy, but truly, we are blessed when we read God's word. Often, the next step after hearing God's word is reading it for yourself. And the thing is, I take so for granted that we can just read God's word. For centuries, for most of the history of Christianity, people didn't read the Bible. Someone else read it to them because they didn't know how to read, and there weren't that many copies of the Bible. But to be able to read God's word for yourself in your own language without fear of persecution, it is a great privilege that most Christians have never had. And if you want to connect more with God and you know that you're not interacting much with God's word, your next step is reading. Something we've been challenging HSM to do for the last year and a half is to read your Bible every day. That's our prayer and that's our desire for every single one of you. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Isaac. Blake and I ran into Isaac this past Sunday in the lobby at church, and he was just reading. He had like straight up opened up to Genesis and was just sitting there locked in reading his Bible. And this is just such a helpful practice to us. And if reading is kind of hard for you, then use one of those audio apps to listen while you're reading. Another thing that you can also do is make sure that you have a plan. Again, that's when a plan is so helpful. And if you aren't following a Bible reading plan right now, my challenge to you is read Ephesians, one chapter a day until the next time we're back here at HSM. It's 6 chapters, so you would have one day of catching up, and I think you'll find that it will be really encouraging. And so, we can hear God's word, we can read it, but there's still, Logan, you want to come up here? Hey, welcome back to HSM. I'm so happy that you're here. First night back in a while, and again, playing the enemy character. So I'm hearing God's word, I'm reading God's word, I have some understanding of it, but again, maybe someone questions my faith. How can I trust the Bible? Maybe I, face some lie from the enemy. Maybe I'm experiencing a friend who's hurt me. And so when I face those things and those things come along, it's so easy for God's word still to be taken away from me. Thank you, Logan. And so, again, your next finger, the next way to interact with God's word is you can study it. You can study it. Acts 17, verse 11 says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." We know that everyone in this room is so smart and so studious. And just like you study for a test, you can study God's word. You can ask questions, go back to the text, you can do research. And I also love the verse that we just read because I try to be humble, you know, when I get to preach together. But you shouldn't just take everything I say as absolute truth. Like, I love that it says in Acts that these people had God's word and they examined the scriptures for themselves to make sure everything that was being shared was true. And so if you are interested in starting to study the Bible, also on all of your seats is the SOAP study Bible method. SOAP is an inductive study. Everyone say inductive. And that just means you are looking at the scripture, making observations, and then you're applying it to your life. And if you want to go deeper, those are yours to keep, and we'd encourage you to practice SOAP this week. And if you want to go even just a little bit deeper, I found this awesome, Josiah, you have the same book. Oh, Lucas, you have the same book. Did you guys know we were talking about this tonight? You're going through it at school this week. Praise God. Okay, cool. So don't just take my word for it. Talk to somebody else. How to Read the Bible by David Platt. It's a really short book. There's also areas that you can journal for yourself. If you're looking for help on how to study God's word, come talk to me. Let's read this book together. Maybe we could get together and chat. Okay. So again, we are hearing God's word. We're reading God's word. We're studying it. And you know, my grip is getting stronger, but it still can be easily taken away. I'll have you come up in a second, Chase, because we're going to move on. He's just so on it. We're going to move on to memorize. Another way we can engage with God's word is memorize. Excuse me. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 say, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Again, we read at the beginning of tonight that Jesus resisted temptation by quoting scripture. And he did it so fast because he had that stuff memorized. And if you are kind of like, but you know, Claire, he was God. Like, of course he knew. Of course he knew the word. Of course. But he's our example. And so my biggest recommendation, something that I wish I did more as a high school student, is memorize as much scripture as you can. If you tend to get anxious, find a verse on peace and memorize it. If you tend to get angry, find a verse on self-control, memorize it. If you struggle with lust, find a verse on self-control, on asking for God's help, and memorize it. And when you feel those things, repeat that verse over and over again until you are recentered on Christ. A few resources how you can work on memorization. Did you know that every week on your sermon notes, there is a suggested Bible memory verse? And there are times, you know, we're like, we're not even sure if people know that this is there. And so we've talked before, like, should we just, like, stop doing that? But then about a year ago, a student came up to us and was like, "Thank you so much for giving us a memory verse. I've been memorizing scripture for the last 8 months. Every week, there's a verse that you can memorize. I also just learned about this app called Versify. It's totally free, and it helps you memorize. If you're into the New York Times, like, Wordle or Connections games, it's actually really fun the way that the app is designed. It tests you to see how well you know the verses that you want to memorize. And then, just want to shout out the classic index cards. You use these for school? You can use them for scripture too. And so you just write the verse that you want to memorize, and then you keep it with you so that you can go back and test yourself. And actually, Blake was the one who taught me about this, and kind of what took our relationship to the next level was we connected over memorizing scripture, and we talked about God's word. And so Blake, these are actually the index cards that he gave me before we were dating to focus on scripture, which is so sweet, but I totally confess, this thing is dusty. I have not used it in a while, so please, please forgive me. But with that, ask a friend to hold you accountable. Hey, at any time, ask me how my scripture memorization is going. But just, you know, a warning for, based on me and Blake, you might fall in love. So just choose that friend carefully. Okay, all right. And now, Chase, I'm going to bring you up last. Our last part of the word hand, the thumb, is meditate. We can meditate on God's word. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 say, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Sometimes we kind of judge meditation because we have this picture that meditation is I'm emptying my mind and I'm like trying to focus on nothing. But the meditation taught in scripture is actually the opposite of that. We fill our minds with the truths of who God is and what his word says. And meditating is often how God's word gets fully hidden into our hearts. And the reason that meditation is your thumb is because you can meditate on God's word that you've heard. You can meditate on what you've read. You can meditate on what you've studied. And you can meditate on what you've memorized. And as we are engaging with God's word in all of these ways, as we are saturated in it, Chase, come on up. Finally, your time to shine. So, okay, Chase is pretty strong, so I'm gonna try to do my best. Okay, but I'm like saturated with God's word, okay? I'm not perfect, but I know it. There are things that I've memorized. And so when lies come, when the enemy comes, when I experience brokenness or someone challenging my faith and the things try to like really, no, like yank it. Like when those things come, I have a firm grip on God's word. Thank you, Chase. Thank you. Really, really gave me my workout for the day. When we interact with God's word in all these ways, we have a firmer grip on the things that it says. It's quicker for us to turn to. And so none of these ways are better than the others. God uses all of them together in order to, like we said at the beginning, to correct us, to train us for righteousness, to equip us for every good work.